following has been recorded in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We continue now with Masechus Beit Adahei Amin Aleph. We are right in the middle of the page. It's 12 lines from the top. Rabbi Yosef Omar. Just to briefly recap, we had previously seen on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis that the Gemara told us that Rav and Shmuel both agree that when we're dealing with Rosh Hashanah, a Beitza Shenolda Bazeh, Asura Bazeh, an egg which is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be prohibited on the second day. Although there's a machlokas when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, when it comes to other Yom Tovim, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, there is no dispute. Everybody is in full agreement that the Beitza is going to be Asur on the second day. And the reason for that is because we explain that the original Takanas Chazal was such that the second day of Rosh Hashanah was viewed as an extension of the first day. That's what's called the Yom Arichta Kedusha Achas. It has one designated status of sanctity, and therefore there is not considered to be any status change even when the sun sets after the first day of Rosh Hashanah and the second day begins. That was the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Then, as we had seen, Rabbi came along, and he said, but after the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that changed. Because later in history, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai went ahead, and he said that we can, in fact, accept Edom the entire day, in which case, the observance of the second day of Rosh Hashanah going forward is only Mishum Sveka Diyoma. It's only because we are uncertain as to when exactly Rosh Hashanah is, and when we observe Rosh Hashanah Mishum Sveka Diyoma, the second day, so then it's considered to have a separate status. That's called Sveka Dushos, in which case there would be no reason to prohibit the egg. So that's what we had seen previously in the Gemara. So comes along Rav Yosef now, again, 12 lines from the bottom of the page, and he says the following. Rav Yosef Amar, Af mi takanas Rav Yochanan Zakkai ve'elach beitz asura. Rav Yosef says, I disagree with you, Rabbi. He says, even after the period of Yochanan Zakkai's takana, it is still going to be prohibited to eat the egg on day two. My timer, have a dover shebeminyin, a chodover shebeminyin, sorech minyin achel hatiru. Because the original enactment, the original Takana of Chazal, which established the second day of Rosh Hashanah as being the Torah's Vadai, as being an extension of the first day, that's called a Dover Shebeminyan. What does it mean, a Dover Shebeminyan? So Rashi over here explains the Dover Shebeminyan means Beit Zazu Naseres Bekibutz Chachamim. This Beitza was prohibited based on a meeting, an assembly of Chachamim, Shenimu V'gamru La'asosu Shnei Yomim Kedusha Achasim Lobo Edim L'Fnei HaMimcha. They decided that if Edom did not come before a certain time, so the second day of Yom Tov is going to be established, as we've seen previously, as an extension, a Kedusha Achas. V'chala osin shnei yomim achmas kenasu. And whenever we have 2 days, it is based on this original enactment, this original takana, shemalobo Edom l'deis b'kodim mimcha, because maybe they will not come in time. So that was originally established b'minyan, meaning there was a formal assembly of chachamim, as a bezin and sat, and they convened, and they discussed, and they deliberated, and they came to this conclusion. And he says, when it comes to a davar shebeminyan, it is going to remain in full effect until you have a minyan acher, until you have another group that comes along later, perhaps, we're going to discuss later, but perhaps of equal caliber of size, which comes along and is matir, essentially repeals that original takana. But even if circumstances change and the reason doesn't seem to apply anymore, the original takana is going to remain in effect, argues Rabbi Yosef. So he says to Rabbah, it is true that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai came along and he made a takana, but that is not going to be enough to go ahead and to have an effect on the status of this egg, because this egg is going to have an iser based on the original takana which came about through, again, a kibbutz chachamim. That's called a davar shebeminyan. And a davar shebeminyan requires a minyan acher lahatira. You're going to require another group to repeal that original takana. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mino Amin Allah. So Rabbi Yosef says, and how do I know this is true? How do I know what is true? Says Rashi, how do I know the whole davar hanesu beminyan tzarech minyan acher lahatira? How do we know that in fact this is so, that anything which is prohibited based on a minyan, again, which means over here, an assembly of chachamim, you require another minyan in order to be matirit. Even if circumstances change, and something occurs in which, logically, I can say, wait, it is now mutter, and I can say that the first takana no longer applies, circumstances have changed, and there's no reason to apply this reason going forward, as we have over here. Nevertheless, it is still going to be usher until we have an explicit change of this takana. Again, so this is a bit of a chiddush, and Rabbi Yosef is demanding of himself an explanation for this, because after all, one could reason that if a group of rabbis come together and they make a certain gezerah, they make a takana based on a reason, and they clearly tell us that reason, so logically I would say, well, when that reason doesn't apply anymore, so that means that the takana doesn't apply, the gezerah doesn't apply. So Rabbi Yosef says that's not true. If it's a davish of a minyan, you require a formal repeal process where there has to be another minyan that comes along and says this no longer applies. The fact that on our own we come to the conclusion, well, circumstances have changed, times are different, is a reason to say it doesn't apply. That may be true, but you still require a minyan achul atira. So Rabbi Yosef again says, no, I mean alug. We're now 10 lines from the bottom of the page. So the chsiv, he says, because we find the Torah says, lech amor lohem, shuvu lachem olechem. The pasuk over here, which is found in Parshas Yisro, is talking about the time of Maimon Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah. And over there, Hashem says to Moshe, go ahead and tell the people that they can return to their tents. Of Omer, it also says, b'msho chayov elhem yalu bahar, that when they hear the sound of the shofar, so they can ascend the mountain. Rashi tells us regarding the reference to both of these pasukim that the Gemara is going to explain shortly what exactly we learned from these pesukim. So right now we're just going to read the pesukim, but we'll see exactly what they have to do with this topic momentarily. The Gemara then continues with another proof. Rabbi Yosef cites another source for this idea. Utsnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Karim Rivai Hava Olub Yerushalayim Mahalach Yom Echad B'chol Tzad. There is a mitzvah in the Torah known as Karim Rivai, in which all grapes, a vineyard, in its fourth year of production, so all of the fruits have to be brought to Yerushalayim, just like the concept of Ma'aseh Sheni. In fact, it's based on the Gezeirah Shavah that connects the two. So we know that they have to be brought to Yerushalayim and consumed there. There is an option to go ahead and to be poda, to redeem the value of those payers onto money and to bring the money to Yerushalayim. And at times people would opt for that because it's much more efficient and it's easier, especially in situations where people are blessed with much produce. It could be difficult to travel to Yerushalayim. So the mission over here says that there was a takanas chazal that Kerem Rivai had to be brought to Yerushalayim if you lived within one day's travel distance. That it was not an option to go ahead and to redeem payros, that if you lived within a certain perimeter of Yerushalayim, it was necessary to actually go ahead and bring the payros, and you would not have the option of being po'd of the payros. What exactly were the borders? V'zoi t'chumah, here you go, Eilat min hadarom, v'akrebes min hatzafon, log min hamara, v'yardim min hamizrach. So over here, the Mishnah gives us very, very defined borders as to where exactly geographically in Eretz Yisrael you would be required, if you were in this area, in this tchum, literally in this border, this boundaries, that you would be required to bring the payros, and you would not have the option of redeeming the payros onto coins. But Amr Ula, the Itema Rabbah Babarchana, Rabbi Yochanan, and Ula taught that perhaps as Rabbah Babarchana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Maka, what is the reason why Chazal insisted that if you live within a certain distance of Yerushalayim, you have to bring the payros, and it was not an option to be posed to them? After all, redeeming the payros could have been much more sufficient. So the answer is, Kedei la'afir shuki Yerushalayim b'payros, because we wanted, Chazal wanted that the shuka Yerushalayim, that the markets of Yerushalayim should be adorned with payros. Imagine what a beautiful sight it is that people come to the holy city of Yerushalayim and they see produce everywhere in payros. It just enhances the entire spirit, the entire ambiance of the place. It gives people a sense of the great bounty and the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Jewish people. So the reason for this takana was that it would be such a shame that a person lives just a few hours from Yerushalayim and he takes the easy way out and he's put his payros onto coins. It shouldn't be that way. That if you live within one day, so you should travel to Yerushalayim with your payros and you should bring it there. Kedei la'atir shuki Yerushalayim b'payros. V'tanya, and the Gemara continues on Tzatz Braisa, Kerem Rivai ha'yulo l'Rabbi Eliezer b'mizrach lod, b'tzad k'far kovi. That Rabbi Eliezer personally had Kerem Rivai, again he had these payros of a four-year-old vineyard, and he lived within this distance. It was specifically the Mizrach Lo, Betzad Kfar Tovi, geographically within this area that he would have had to really bring the payers to Yerushalayim. Ubikesh Lachkir Laniyim. And he decided, says the Gemara on the top of Hamid Beis, that he wanted to just go ahead and abandon these payers altogether and be mafkir them for the Aniyim, for the poor. Why would he do that? Says Rashi, Shiyah Katuhu Haim. So this way they would pick the payers. The Yalul Yerushalayim Yachlu Husham. They'll bring them to Yerushalayim. Because he personally found it to be a great tircha. It was an effort for him to go ahead and to bring the payers to Yerushalayim. And rather than find himself in that position where he was required to do something. See, he came up with a generous way to essentially absolve himself of that obligation. After all, if he's mafki the peros, if he abandons them, they're not his. If they're not his, it's not his responsibility. So the aniyim who will go ahead and benefit from this gift, so then they'll go ahead and they'll take it and they'll enjoy the peros in Yerushalayim. This was his plan. This is what he wanted to do. So Amar lo tamidav, so really, as a student said to him, Rebbe, k'var nimnu alecha chaverecha v'hituru. Why do you feel compelled to go ahead and be mafki this peros? After all, haven't you heard? There's already been a hatara. There's already been an attempt to repeal this takana. Why was it ever repealed? Because after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when the Nachrim, says Rashi, came in, and they occupy Yerushalayim, so there's no reason anymore where we have to be Ma'ater Shuki Yerushalayim, the Peros. After all, we don't have to make Yerushalayim look beautiful for the occupying enemies. And so therefore, there's no reason to have this anymore. But yet, there was a formal Hatara. Nimlu Alech Chaverecha V'Yituru. Man Chaverecha, who is that? Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Rav Yochanan Zakkai came along, and he essentially repealed the takana. So says the Gemara, time of the Nimnu. So you see that the whole reason why Rebbe Eliezer's student said to him, the whole reason why you're permitted to go ahead and bring and be posed to the Paris yourself, and you don't have to bring them to your slime, you don't have to be mafki them, is the Nimnu, because they got together as a group. Hello Nimnu, but had they not done that, low. So Rashi says, time of the Nimnu, hello Nimnu, lo. Even though obviously the original takana doesn't apply, the whole reason was in order to adorn the streets of Yishlaim, the Peros, became the Chorva, and now we're talking post the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Why are we going to go ahead and make it look so nice for the Nachum, but yet we still require a minyan achala hatilo? So says the Gemara, essentially, this is the proof. Rabbi Yosef brings us the proof for his idea. Rabbi Yosef was the one who says that kol davar shel minyan, tzarech minyan achala hatira, that whenever you have a takanas chazal that was established b'kibbutz chachamim with a group of sages who get together, it's going to apply indefinitely until another minyan comes along and repeals that takana. And Rabbi Yosef says, you see from here that that very din essentially in action, because as we saw, there was original takana that said if you live within one day's distance of Yerushalayim, you did not have the option to be posed at your Kerem Kerivai. You actually bring the payers to Yerushalayim. Rebbe Eliezer found himself in such a situation, and rather than schlep the peros, which for him, as Rashi said, he considered to be a personal torah, he decided to go ahead and be maskir his peros for the aniyim. They'll take it; it'll be their responsibility to take them. And Rebbe Eliezer's student said to him, "Rebbe, why is it that you feel compelled to do that? After all, haven't you heard? Another minion has come along and has been maskir this takana." Again, that in this case, Numar identifies that once again as the Yochanan Zakkai who made this takana post-Korban. But the fact that was required, even though circumstantially the situation has changed, and therefore obviously there's no need to be ma'akir shukir mishlai b'peros in order to make it look nice for our occupying enemies. Nevertheless, you see, says Rabbi Yosef, you see from here that kol davar shel b'minyan tzarech minyan achar lahatiro. Continues the Gemara, four lines on the top of the page, mai va'omer. Now what does it mean when it says va'omer? Because you saw previously, before Rabbi Yosef brought this Mishnah, and which followed this discussion, the Brice of Rabbi Eliezer, so he quoted two psukim, the psukim from Maimon HaSinai. So what does it mean, va'omer, the second proof? So it says the Gemara, hochikamer, this is what he said. Michli, let's take a look. What does it say in the Torah before Maimon HaSinai? Siv, it says, heyunuchonim lo shloshes yamim, al-tikshu elisha. The Torah says that the Jews were instructed to be prepared, because after 3 days they were going to receive the Torah, and they should not come close to a woman. So basically there was a prohibition for men and women to have tashmish during this period. They were required to separate in the days leading up to Maimon HaSinai. So lechem or lehem shuvah lechem lalechem lamali. So why then does the Torah go out of its way and explicitly direct them to go ahead and return to their tents? In other words, to permit them to go ahead and to resume having normal relations with each other. Why was that necessary? After all, the Torah tells from the beginning, that just prepare for 3 days, and after 3 days, obviously we realize on our own, so we live life as usual. Why is it that the Torah says, no, lechem or lechem shuvah lechem lechem? So it must be, shma minah, the kol davar shel b'minyan, Sarach min yinach latira. That we see from here, Rashi says, hol of a kudshe berichu usher. By minishrei higuf hemehedya. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was the one who introduced this original issa, this prohibition, so he himself had to come along to be matir. It's not only when it comes to here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu issues a directive that it must be repealed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, but it applies not only over here, but in all circumstances where we have a davar shebeminyan. So continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef further explains his entire proof from the Pesukim, if you'll tell me the mitzvahs onohu da'asa, that maybe the Pasuk of Shuvu Lachem L'Aleichem is not telling us that it is permissible to go ahead and to resume having Tashmish normal relations, but rather this is an obligation. It's not coming to permit Tashmish, because we would know that on our own, because again the Torah says, but rather the Torah is directing us that this is something that you should do. This is part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment, Al Karchan, whether you want to or not, that they should not deny, deprive their wives of relations. So maybe that's the reason why the Torah says, Shuvu Lachem L'Aleichem, and in fact it doesn't prove this idea that Kol Davar Shebeminyan Tzarech Min Hanachal HaTiro. So Tashma, then comes along another Pasuk, which proves Rabbi Yosef's point, B'mshok HaYovel, Heim Yalu Bahar. The Pasuk says, when they hear the sound of the shofar, so then they may ascend the mountain. So continues the Gemara to explain this drush. Michli, let's see. Ksiv it says, Gamatzon Rabakor Al Yeru El Mula Harahu. The Pasuk says that the sheep and the cattle and the other animals may not graze opposite the mountain. Now what does it say? Haharahu. So Rashi explains, Haharahu means Kol Zman, as long as the Shechina is dwelling on this mountain, as long as there's Hashras HaShechina over here, so this Takan applies, this rule applies, that there may not be any animals that are found near the mountain. So why then do I need an explicit granting of permission when the Torah says, okay, once you hear the shofar, you may ascend the mountain and the animals may resume their normal grazing on the mountain. Why do I need that? After all, the Torah says, Kamatzon Babakor Al Yiru El Mul Hohorohu. Hohorohu doesn't just mean literally, geographically, this mountain, but it means as long as it's in that state. So Shmami Nuts, as a Yosef, you see from here, as I said, that it's a Davar Shebeminyan. B'chol Davar Shebeminyan, Tzarech Minyan Achlat Hira, that whenever we have a law, Takana, that is passed in a formal Kibbutz Chachamim, an assembly of Chachamim, in this case, a law that was passed by HaKadosh Baruch himself, Tzarech Minyan Acher requires another equal group of caliber, either Minyan, literally having a group of Chachamim, or in this case, HaKadosh Baruch himself, who comes along to repeal that Gezeris.